Hello, this is a trimmed down podcast version of Tracks of My Life with me, Toby Davey. To catch all my guests' music tracks in full, do listen in to the hour-long version on RNIB Connect Radio every Tuesday at 7 p.m, repeated Thursdays at 1 p.m. and Sundays at 8 p.m. Hello, I'm Toby Davey and welcome to Tracks of My Life here on RNIB Connect Radio. In Tracks of My Life, we invite a guest to select several tracks that mean something to them and mark moments in their life. Maybe the first track they ever heard, the first track that they may have brought, and several tracks that mark moments in their life, as well as one track that they would like to pass on that might give hope for the future. My guest today is Katrina Taylor, a very successful, visually impaired singer-songwriter, who has performed with the likes of George Benson and the James Taylor Quartet, to name just a few. In Katrina's Tracks of My Life, we will go on a journey from her early life, growing up in Portugal at her parents' tennis club, with the sounds of Brazilian music in the background. Then to student life at Brunel University while studying law. After graduating, then off to London to start her law career as a young solicitor. Working hard, enjoying London life, and dancing the night away at salsa bars. After a few years working in London, then Katrina decided to follow her love of singing, auditioning and successfully gaining a place at Central School of Speech and Drama. Katrina soon became a singer with an established reputation for live performance, bursting onto the London jazz scene and selling out such venues as Pizza Express Jazz Club and the Café Royal. Katrina has opened for the 8-time Grammy award-winning legend George Benson in Europe as part of his world tour. Hello, Katrina, and welcome to Tracks of My Life here on RNIB Connect Radio.
Hi, Toby.
Katrina, was it difficult for you as a professional singer selecting your tracks for Tracks of My Life?
Well, only insofar as there's so many I could have picked. Goodness me, you know, so much wonderful music in the world.
And your first track, I believe, takes you back to your early days growing up in Portugal and growing up with your parents at their tennis centre and a lot of Brazilian music. What was life like back then for you?
I am so lucky that my parents worked in Portugal when I was younger. We spent so many carefree days on the beaches and just roaming around in areas, you know, that were very not built up and beautiful nature around us. My father is a former British champion, Roger Taylor, so he ran a tennis centre out there, and it was all about exercise and, just really lovely life. My mum was a Portuguese speaker, and so she played this kind of Brazilian music around the house, and I just fell in love with Astrid Gilberto as a child, and Getz Gilberto, all that style of music has always been very much part of me since then.
And did music play a big part in both your life back then and your parents' life as well?
Well, not so much. People often ask me, you know, did you get your singing from your parents? And not really. The tradition in our house was more sports. As I said, my father was touring the world playing for Britain, and he was very determined person, but as much as he loved music, he went to see it whenever he was traveling in the world. I remember him telling me stories about seeing Burt Bacharach just, you know, playing in a hotel lobby where he's staying, and you know, he used to go off to some of the jazz clubs in America when he was over there. So I guess some of my taste for music came from my parents, but they weren't great musicians.
And was it strange for you, or perhaps just the norm, growing up with a sort of famous dad?
I think at the time I was so young, I just, it went straight over my head. And I became more aware of it when I was, you know, a little older in my teens. And I did find it very strange that women everywhere wanted to do things for him, because he was a bit of a heartthrob.
And what is it about this particular track, So Nice Summer Samba, that takes you back to those days?
Well, it's just the essence of the music, the bossa nova, the passion for life that that music represents. And Astrid, she just has a way of interpreting it, sort of slightly melancholic but joyful at the same time. It just reminds me of those days.
Someone to hold me tight, that would be very nice. Someone to love me right, that would be very nice. Someone to
So Nice, Summer Samba by Astrid Gilberto there. Katrina, your next track is a bit of a musical number, a track from a fantastic musical film. And I think back in those days, we only had two channels on the TV. And at the weekend, it was either sport on one channel or musicals on another. So what was it about this particular track and those old wonderful musicals that we all had on the telly back in the day?
Well, I was lucky enough just to be watching those amazing movies, the Fred Astaires, the Ginger Rogers, Barbara Streisand in all her range of movies, and My Fair Lady, South Pacific, all those kinds of musicals have actually, they've over the years, the songs are so classic, the writers were so great, they've kind of become jazz standards. And in some of the work I do now, I take those songs and I turn them into, you know, I put my jazz or Latin twist on them. And so I'm able to enjoy them still. And I mean, Louis Armstrong was in that movie, and it was just a great kind of introduction to jazz and the wonders of music.
And had you started sort of singing yourself at this stage, or was that still something in the sort of background or something that you thought you were going to do?
When I was a child, I was singing all the time. And actually, as I grew up, I stopped singing until I turned to singing again. We were very much a sporting family. But when I was a child, I wanted to be a radio DJ and a singer.
Well, you've obviously reached those heights now. But at that time, was your eyesight bad as well? Or was that something which came later on?
Yes, I was diagnosed around the age of 7 with Stargardt's, which is a form of macular dystrophy. And being on the tennis court all the time with my family, my parents did notice that I wasn't always reacting to the ball coming towards me as quickly as my brother and sister. And so in those early days, there was always some impairment there, but we didn't find out till I was about 7. Yeah.
Gosh. And were your parents quite good at sort of making sure that you weren't excluded from anything because of your sight, and you were doing everything that your you know, sort of brothers were doing?
I was on a tennis court, yeah, and I was playing sports with them in my early days until my sight really deteriorated. I'd say by late teens, I wasn't really able to play those sports anymore. But in my younger days, I was very active.
And this wonderful track by Barbara Streisand, is it her voice or is it just the whole thing of that jazz music that really sort of inspired you?
Well, I think it's just her in particular. I think most, you know, if singers have to name singers that they admire, she must be on a lot of people's list, really. She's just, in that film, she was just so sassy and so such a strong, empowered woman, you know, and she sang such great songs. I mean, each song is wonderful. So I just love that movie.
I feel the room swaying for the bands playing one of my old favorite songs from way back when. So that gap, fellas.
The wonderful sound of Barbara Streisand there with the title track to the film Hello Dolly. Katrina, we now move to those university days with you studying law at Brunel University. Had law been something that you'd always wanted to do?
I wasn't always sure at university stage what to do. I was lucky enough to take a year out and I did some soul searching, And I started actually doing law and politics at Brunel. But when I got there, I did really enjoy the law element of it. So I actually transferred to a law degree. But no, it wasn't something that I had always wanted to do. It seemed like a really good choice, a training, especially for somebody with my partial sight, to know that I could have a skill to offer.
And what was university like for you back then? Did you sort of enjoy it all and partake in everything?
I had lovely times at university. You know, we were on a tiny campus, so we sort of knew a lot of people. And Brunel University is, it's actually mainly engineers. There's a lot of engineers on that campus. And so I think the ratio of females to males is, you know, quite low. So we had a great time. We, you know, we were always enjoying ourselves. But as law undergraduates, you know, we did work hard too.
Playing hard as well as working hard, I suspect.
Yeah.
And the track that you have chosen is one by U2 from their sort of groundbreaking album Acton Baby. Had you been a fan of U2 prior to that, or you know, sort of were different music in your sort of playlist?
I was a fan of U2, yeah. I have very eclectic tastes. I like all kinds of music. But this song just really stays with me. I had a boyfriend at the time who was just a lovely guy and a set of friends. You know, we had a little group that we hung around with. And it just reminds me of those days. And I feel so sorry for those university students now who can't make it onto their campuses, and I hope that very soon they can again.
Yeah, because it is, that student life is so good, and I have fond memories of listening to Acton Baby back in the day when I was studying down in Falmouth, and it certainly takes me back to those times. And I think student life, you know, you've got to enjoy it and embrace it, and it must be awful at the moment for people.
You want me to go with that? Drag the past out into the light. We're one, but we're not the same. We get to carry each other, carry each other.
One by U2 from Acton Baby, a fantastic groundbreaking track in U2's career, I think, for me anyway. Katrina, for your next track, we have moved from university to life as a young solicitor living and working in the City of London. You were working hard and I think playing hard as well, dancing the night away. What was life like back then for you as a young solicitor living and working in London?
Being a solicitor is a really tough job. You know, they really do take their pound of flesh. You're working hard all day, and you know, by the time the end of the day has come, it's like 8 o'clock. You're looking for some entertainment and some letting off steam. So yes, I regularly I did my hard day's work, and then I would go off to all the lovely clubs there are in London, all the scenes. There's a great salsa scene where you can dance, and I mean, I was also into tango. I used to dance tango. All that influenced actually my songwriting as well as I developed later. Great rhythms and great passion in those musics.
Were you writing songs at that time?
No, not at all. I was very much focused on, and law is very goal-based, you know, you're passing one exam and then another exam, and then you have to qualify your accounts degree and all kinds of elements to it. And as a trainee solicitor, which is, once you're offered a job, you are in a 2-year contract training essentially, but that means competing with all your colleagues as well to see who will get the job at the end of the day. So we just had to really have our noses to the grindstone and work.
I suppose quite a competitive part style of life in a way. You know, it must be, you know, as you say, if you are competing for that job at the end of it and everything else, very competitive.
Yeah, it was. I mean, I in the end I qualified into intellectual property law, and that became the area that I practiced in. But again, when you're training, you're kind of doing a bit of everything for everyone, and it's quite demanding.
Do you think your desire to get up and dance the night away, as you did, may have come from your early life back in Portugal and the music back then?
I think I'm just a person who really likes to enjoy life. I wasn't able to play tennis because of my sight, so I turned to the things that I guess came easier, and dancing was one of those things, and singing.
Captured at first lay, that's the way it was. Happened so naturally, I did not know it was.
Alex Wilson there with the salsa version of Ain't Nobody. Katrina, we now come to a pivotal point in your life when you decided to give up law and follow your heart and your dream to get into music and go to college. What had led you up to this particular point and wanting to change your life and go back to college and study music and singing?
I just decided to make a crazy change in my life. I was enjoying being a lawyer, but I could see what was going to be on offer for the rest of my life. And I just had a moment where I thought, you know what, I feel for me that being a lawyer for the rest of my life is not going to work for me. And I want to try something different, to just give it a go and see what happens. And I guess I kind of took a leap of faith. And I decided that I would try to audition for some of the musical schools that we have in London. There are some great training places. I guess I applied myself like a lawyer to a singing career. I worked very hard. I did my research, and I remember I applied for four schools to go to, and I was rejected by three of them. But then I was very lucky to get that offer on the mat from Central School of Speech and Drama, which is they trained me very well in singing and also acting.
And the track that you have chosen is the one that you sang for your audition to Central School of Speech and Drama.
I was so nervous with that track because I wasn't really a singer at the time. You know, I was coming to it from law, and I remember performing that and being lucky enough to be offered a place based on it.
What was the feeling like when you did get that offer of that place to go to Central?
Oh, I was so, so happy. Oh, yeah, just overjoyed. I mean, I don't know what I thought it would be like, because it was actually really challenging to be a slightly older person at Central School. A lot of the kids there were like, you know, in their 18, 19. And I'd already had a career in law. So that was interesting. Certainly music hasn't been an easy option. I would put it that way. You know, there's lots of challenges in music, but I'm happier pursuing my passion, I think.
Was it hard leaving law at that time? And did your friends back in the law sort of world actually, you know, think that you were making a good choice and, you know, supported you in that choice?
One of my good friends sat me down and he said to me, "Katrina, I think you've lost your mind. Why are you doing this?" And I think a lot of people were slightly taken aback, really, because I guess my background in singing was very limited at the time. And obviously, it had taken a long time to become a lawyer, to train, to get into a firm. I changed firms. I was working, you know, had a bit of experience in various places at that time. But I just really felt it was the right decision for me, and I followed that instinct, which I'm really glad I did, because it's worked out.
Yeah, I think you're right there. I think you've been very successful, and it has really worked out for you. The The wonderful sound of Ella Fitzgerald there and Love Man. For your next track, Katrina, you have chosen a track by that great jazz guitarist, George Benson, who you have performed on the same stage with and I think opened up for him as well. What is it about George Benson and this particular track?
In my early career, I was lucky. Certain events happened. I met certain people. I found musicians and I started performing on the jazz circuit quite quickly. But this was just an incredible moment for me because I went from performing in a very small places, quite intimate, which have joys about them and are also quite difficult to do, you know, when you're sort of eyeball to eyeball with people. But I went into a stadium with, you know, 10,000 people and just suddenly that was just, I mean, it was amazing for me. It was wonderful.
And sharing that stage with such a great jazz icon, did you get a feeling of being there on stage with him? And, you know, for you, it must have been a wonderful opportunity.
It really was. And I'm very much in awe of George Benson in particular, but artists like that. I mean, he works so hard with his touring. He is, you know, on the road the whole time, very, very dedicated and so, so accomplished as a musician and a singer. And yeah, just really incredible opportunity for me to have worked with him, which I'm very grateful for.
And touring life must be sort of, I don't know, I was going to say difficult, but it must be quite pleasurable as well. And it must be like having an extended family when you're travelling from city to city with your band and everything else. What is life like on tour as a visually impaired singer?
Life on tour, I think for any musician, singer, can be, I think, sometimes being the woman in the group, it's you know, I miss female company, I have to say. There's been times when I've had some backing singers and that's great, you know, because we've been able to have girls with me as well. I think it's very unglamorous, actually. You know, the behind the scenes of music, that part of it is not very glamorous, really. And it makes up for itself when things are going well and, you know, the performances are so rewarding. But there's a lot of sacrifice that comes with that, sacrifice to your lifestyle and to your health. And I think, you know, you have to really, really want to be there in order to keep it going.
I suppose the reward must be actually performing and getting that reaction from the crowd when you are performing, because, you know, that must be a fantastic experience.
It is lovely when your audience are responding to you. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's no better feeling than being on stage. But also one of the things that I kind of discovered along the way was that I could write music and people's response to my music, you know, sometimes they'd come up to me and say, oh, I like that, you know, what was that fifth song you did, you know, the one that you wrote? And that's always been very rewarding for me too.
And as we're just about to play this fantastic track by George Benson on Broadway, what is it about this particular track and why have you chosen it?
Well, this is probably one of his signature tunes. I mean, he crossed over as an artist, funnily enough. He was a jazz musician and then he made that leap into the pop world, which this is one of the tracks that he's known for. It's a lovely funky song and it's just really uplifting.
Broadway there by George Benson. Now, Katrina, we come to that track that you would like to pass on that might give hope for the future. What is the track and why have you chosen it?
This is a song which I wrote myself. This is called Play Me That Song Again. And I wrote it about the memories that music captures, about the way music can transport you to another place and just remind you. It's a bit like, I guess it's a bit like an old friend. You see an old friend, you haven't seen them for 20 years, but you can pick up the conversation because you just know them so well. Music has that ability to just, you're back there in a moment in your memory. And it's a wonderful way to think about life and to have hope for the future, I suppose.
And I think it was one of the first tracks you'd written, is that right?
Oh yeah, this was the first song I ever wrote. So it was quite a big deal for me at the time. I didn't know that I could write songs really. When I went into music, I kind of thought everybody wrote songs. And I've learned that that's really not the case. So it was a real pleasure to hear it played.
Is it a track that you perform when you're performing live?
Yeah, I do this number when I perform live. It's actually on a previous album which I recorded, so I haven't performed it for a while, but I guess it's going to be something that I will always perform. It's, this is part of me.
Wonderful. Well, thank you, Katrina Taylor, for joining me here on RNIB Connect Radio and sharing your tracks of my life.
Thank you, Toby.
Play me that song again. You know the one, when we danced and we laughed, and the music serenaded.